time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is home.
And we are back here on this Getaway Friday, Friday, September the 20th, 2019. It is the eve of the 85th birthday of Charlie Evers. We are preempting the Exchange Club today. We'll be back next week because we are celebrating the birthday and career of Charlie Evers in Marion here, which spans 51 years on air and 71 years in the radio business. How about that? And a lot of stations. And Charlie, you'll be back next week doing 85. Yeah, doing a program on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. This is not the retirement party. This,
oh, really?
No,
oh, okay.
No, no.
I was looking for a gold watch. I wonder why I couldn't find one.
Well, you can take the air conditioning unit that now is humming in the background. You can have that if you like.
Yeah, I could almost hum to that tune.
Isn't that? Once it cools off, it'll kick off.
Oh.
We do want to remember to thank, though, Hemmerly's flowers and gifts for delivering these very colorful balloons, which are nice, and the nice card for Charlie. And also, we want to thank the LNP Cake Shop. Charlie, you finally saw the cake. Tell people about it.
Oh, it's an image of me on there. Yeah, I like. Now, we've bought cakes there, you know, several times, too, for the grandkids and so forth.
They're a great cake shop here in Marion.
Yeah.
And she freehanded that picture of you.
Is that right?
No silk screen.
No kidding.
She does not silk screen. So Linda over at the LNP.
Good.
We think. Can you imagine she drew that on there?
I can't imagine.
With icing.
Wow.
I couldn't do that with a pencil.
Ooh, that took some time and work.
That took some doing.
Yeah, if you're just, some skill.
If you're just tuning in, we've been visited this morning by Gil Gomez, Steve Stewart, Keith Sider, John Steele, Bob Bender, Jeff Ruth, Mary Ellen Withrow. We've had the whole kit and caboodle.
You sure did a lot of pre-broadcast work.
I'm good in the rehearsal. We're not done yet.
Oh, really?
No, we've still got more coming this hour. This is just our break period where we can get Jeff in, because Jeff's just been sitting here. What do you think of this morning?
A quick John Steele story. John had moved to Washington, and we had been on vacation, and we were going from Philadelphia to Washington, D.C., and it was a Friday afternoon. We'd had the radio. We were flipping the dial, and my wife said, "That sounds like John Steele." So we listened for half hour or so, and sure enough, 2 o'clock, he signed off as John Steele. I'll be in tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. So I called the radio station to see if we could talk to him. He had already left for the day, and I said, you know, if you could leave a message. So he called this at the hotel the next morning, like 6:01, said, "Can we get together for dinner?" I said, "Love to." So he and his wife and the three of us, we went out, and he kind of showed us where he worked, and we went out for dinner in Washington. And we went out for dinner. It was a pretty nice restaurant, and the waitress came and said, "How are we doing the checks?" And John said, "I'll take care of the check." And I said, "No." I said, "We'll pay for our dinner." And John said, "I know what I made at WMRN, and I know what I'm making now. I'll take care of the check." It's like, okay.
Wow. Well, that tie story. Some old man said, "Charlie, I've got a bunch of ties that I've had over the years, and I want to give them to you." Well, I didn't know what to do with these old ties because they looked pretty old. And so I thought something. I told Steve Stewart that I'm going to give you a tie, and you put it on when you come to work in the morning, and I'm going to cut it off in front of John Steele. And so Steve put the tie on and came in, and I had a pair of scissors in my pocket. I said, "Steve, I don't like that tie. It's horrible. So I cut it in half. And John Steele didn't know there was a joke to that. And he just stomped up and down on the floor, took my hat off, and stomped on it. How would you like somebody? And I forgot to tell him it was a joke. A few years later, John and Steve came to town, and we all went out. And John said, I still never did forgive you for what you did to Steve's tie. I said, oh, no, I did.
Very, very interesting. Now, we're moving along here. Now, this is our next surprise. Now, this is one that we could not do without because, as was said at the beginning of this program, and as everybody said over the last 2 hours, Charlie is a legendary broadcaster here in Marion, one of the absolute best, and a lot of people have echoed that. And the first 19 years at WMRN, he didn't say a word, and then in 1968, he went on the air because, who was that who went on vacation?
Ken Charles.
Ken Charles went on vacation. So had it not been for Ken Charles, you wouldn't be on the air.
That's right.
Well, on the phone right now is Ken Charles from California. Ken. Go ahead, Ken.
Hey, Ken.
Hey, Charlie. How you doing?
Hey, all right, Ken. Boy, is it good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Cause
it's
you're
been a while.
You're responsible for all for me being on the air.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? You're on the air because you were... so much better at rising early in the morning and being on time at the radio station. And I wasn't particularly good at that. And so what happened was, in those days, this was I joined in 1965. Charlie was there as an engineer. And in those days, we had an engineer at the control booth. And then we had an announce booth, so there were always two people there. And so I would be in the announce booth, and Charlie, early in the morning, and morning show would be in the control booth. And I had the early morning shift, and that meant, you know, getting up like at 4:30 in the morning, getting ready and coming in, because I think we signed on Charlie around 5:30 or
right.
6 or something like that, wasn't it? And... I just found it really difficult getting up that early in the morning and getting in on time. And so quite a few times I would oversleep and I would get a phone call and it would be Charlie saying, where are you? And of course I would be startled. I'd leap out of bed. I'd get dressed, pop in my car. In the meantime, then Charlie had to do something to fill up the airtime, right? And so he began, you know, filling up that airtime by talking and playing music and you know, doing the news headlines and things like that. And he saved my bacon on many, many occasions. And it got to the point where Charlie was good. And I recognized that. I was program director at the time as well. And I was responsible for hiring the on-air talent. And Charlie just was natural. He just had that down-home, next-door neighbor feel about him, and people loved it. And so I went to Art Martin, who was the station manager at the time. This was partly to help me out. I just said to Art, I said, why don't we just let Charlie take the morning slot, you know, until, you know, like 5:30 until 7:30 in the morning, and then I can come in, you know, 7:30, and he said, well, let's give it a shot. And so that's how that started. And Charlie, I couldn't be more pleased of how you turned out in being an on-air announcer. Far exceeded anybody's expectations. I mean, you're such a talented guy to begin with. And you took it from there. That's all I can say. I was there from 65 to 75. I left the radio station in 75, and you took it to even greater heights. But that's the story about Charlie got on the air. He was an engineer prior to that. But you found your true calling, Charlie. It
hey,
was a real pleasure working with you.
Steve, Ken, do you remember when we went to the first parade, I think it was the Bratwurst Festival, and I pulled your kids and your wife was there, and your kids in my antique wagons.
For that, you were into antiques in those days.
Yeah, and remember, one of your girls is now, I see her on internet quite a bit. She married a titled person in India? Is that
No, no, that's our daughter.
Yeah.
Unique. That's her grandson that married a woman from India. Indian woman.
Well, okay, yeah.
She was in the parade with us, along with our son Kenneth. I don't think Neil was just born. I think
that was 1969. I think.
Yeah, Neil was born in 67. He would have been 2 years old.
Yeah,
and yeah, I remember you talking me into that. I wasn't too high.
But all your kids, all the kids rode in the wagon, including my daughter Kathy. And
that's right.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, wasn't it? My.
That was a fair time ago, yeah. I look back on that. It just seems impossible it's been that long. I was thinking about that parade the other day. I was trying to remember. I knew it was in Osiris, and I couldn't remember. It was the Bratwurst Festival.
That's right. That was the very first Bratwurst Festival.
That's right.
It's still going on, of course, every year.
Then you and I got involved in raising money for a charity by doing this peanut race.
Yes.
I think it was, right?
Right.
And you grew that thing into a really significant charity event, right?
Yeah, remember, you were broadcasting from Kennedy Ford, and you put a note on the bulletin board, if anybody else has any ideas how we can raise some money, and that's how the peanut push. You know, I thought, well, I started the peanut push and thought the money should go to your cause, the Christmas Clearinghouse.
That's right, Christmas Clearinghouse, right.
Yep, boy. And it's still going on.
Really?
Yeah, they're still pushing peanuts every year. And no one else has ever tried that in any other city except Marion.
It is still going on. It'd be something that you should contact, like CBS Sunday Morning, and have them do a segment on that.
Yeah.
That would be perfect for that show.
Well, you know, another thing, too, the groundhog, Buckeye Chuck, it just gets national publicity anymore, and, you know, as Ohio's official groundhog. So.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's been, yeah. Now, what are you doing? Are you retired now in California?
I'm retired, yeah. I retired about 15 years ago, actually.
Really?
Worked in Silicon Valley. I came out in 1980 and began to work for Atari. Prior to that, I'd worked for a small company in Columbus that was doing a little home computer. And I learned, I got fascinated by this little home computer thing and learned programming. Then I went to California and worked for Atari as a programmer. And I just stayed in Silicon Valley for the next 25 years. And finally, then we bought some property up here in the Sierra foothills. And that's where I spend my time. But frankly, I physically work harder here than I ever did in Silicon Valley because we have 9 acres of pines and oaks and granite. And that keeps me busy every day.
I can imagine pine tree, you know. You've never been near a forest fire?
There was a fire that was about 10 miles from us about 5 years ago. It was pretty scary. As you know, these fires can get enormous here. And we had ashes on our deck from that fire.
Wow.
So that was as close as we got. That was too close for comfort.
I can imagine pine trees really burn. Oh, boy.
Yeah, we're lucky. We have a mixture of pines and oaks, and I try to, my big project this past year has been to limb up all of the trees to at least like 10 feet to stop all the ladder fuel from catching fire. Fire's a big thing here.
Oh,
and every
yeah.
summer we worry a lot about it because
I can imagine.
You know, it's so dry here.
Is this a dry time of the year?
Yes, we get about 4 months with not a single drop of rain.
No kidding.
So, June, July, August. And although we have had a rain here in September. September, which is somewhat unusual. A couple of rains, so that's good news.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we suffered through the summer, the dry period. And then when the rain starts, and the rainy season starts about October, we pray for rain. Last year we got plenty of it, all the lakes. Wow. Reservoirs are full. And mainly the snowpack up in the Sierras are the important part. If we get a lot of snowpack, that means the melt-off will keep everything, you know, keep all the rivers and the reservoirs full.
Okay, yeah. Remember a program you did called Insight?
Oh, yes.
Yep.
I remember Insight. I got into trouble in that program.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
But, well, it was interesting, though. Well, Ken, I'm sure.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm sure glad you were able to call today. My land, there's 3 hours difference.
I wouldn't miss it. I'm so glad. You know, when Scott called me, you know, Ken Charles is an air name that I do.
Yeah.
Not my real name.
Charles Ballfacer.
Yeah. That's my legal name, and you know that name, Ken Charles, how that came about, just a real quick story. I know
tell us.
I'm limited on time. When I first started at WMRN and went on the air, somebody, I don't know whether it was Bob Miller or somebody, said, you need to have an air name. Nobody's going to remember your real name, Ballfacer. They said, you need an air name. So I thought, what am I going to use? So I said, here's what I'll take my son's first name, which was Ken, and I'll take my first name, which is Charles. I'll put them together. I'll become Ken Charles.
That was
the name I used on the air. That's how that came about. Well, it got very confusing, of course, when you use a different name on the air, because people didn't know if you did something that needed legal, you couldn't go by Ken Charles. You had to go by your legal name.
Right.
It got very anyway, after I left WMRN, I never used that name again, Ken Charles. And when Scott called this week, he startled me. I picked up the phone. I saw it was from Ohio and Marion. I thought it was maybe one of my relatives back there was calling for something. So I picked up the phone, and I said, hello. And Scott said, is Ken Charles there? And it startled me.
I just
sat there for a few seconds thinking, who in the world would be calling the new Ken Charles, and what about? So I finally, you know, I did come around and talk to Scott. It was great, and I'm glad he called.
Well,
and congratulations to you, Charlie.
Well,
boy,
thanks.
You've just had a wonderful career.
It's been a long time. Well,
Ken, I hope you're in the Broadcast Hall of Fame back there.
Yeah, in the Ohio Broadcast Hall of Fame, yeah.
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 Well, good. Yeah, it's about time.
Okay. Well, Ken, I sure appreciate being able to talk to you, my land.
Well, I'd love to see you sometime when I'm back there.
Yeah.
I know we did meet up, and I think we had breakfast.
We did,
about 15 years ago or something like that.
Yeah, and that restaurant's gone.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, it left. It's an AT&T facility now. But, yeah, if you get back to Miriam, you be sure to get a hold of me.
Oh, I sure will, Charlie.
Yeah.
I'd love to see you again and have breakfast and reminisce about the old times.
Very good.
We did have some great times.
Yeah. One thing. I remember one correction you gave me. I was saying hundred on the air, and you said, say it hundred. I'll never forget that. Every time I say hundred, I think of Ken Charles. No kidding.
Well, I accomplished something anyway back there.
Right.
Sorry.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot, Ken.
You're welcome. Nice talking to you.
Okay.
And say hi to everybody.
Okay.
Bye, Ken.
All right. Bye.
Well, the man who got you started 51 years ago, Ken Charles. Yeah. Now, when's the last time you talked to him, Charlie?
Oh, it's been many years ago. He came to Marion, and we went out to dinner. But, yeah.
What was the restaurant that's now AT&T?
It was a Sunrise.
Oh yeah, okay.
Remember that? Yeah.
It
was a nice restaurant.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
What's interesting to hear from these people and their perspectives on how. Now, do you remember that story as Ken told it?
he told me a story. I hadn't heard that he went to Art Martin.
Yes.
To okay me working in the morning. I didn't know he did that.
Now, didn't you tell me one time that Art Martin was the only person who gave you real nice praise?
He called me in his office. He said, Evers, I just want to compliment you on what you're doing. And boy, that made me feel so good. He went with me the night I got an honorary state farmer degree at the FFA convention in Columbus. We had dinner together. He died the next day.
Oh, heart attack?
I don't know.
He was still working?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Art Martin.
He is a good man.
Now,
he originally was an Amish.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Now, he predated your 40 years, didn't he, Jeff?
No, he was there about
knew Art Martin.
He was there about 2 weeks when he died.
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
So what were your impressions in those 2 weeks of Art?
I don't know that I ever even met him because, as I said, I worked evenings. But, yeah, he was there about 2 weeks when he passed away. Yeah, a heart attack, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, we talked a little bit earlier on about Bob Mason, and I played a clip this morning with his voice on it. Now, Bob Mason, I guess we can say, is the founder of broadcasting in Marion, 1940, founder of WMRN. You're one of the last around who worked with him. Now, would he have ever put you on the air?
No.
Now, why not?
No.
What was his...
He was more serious.
He was a serious type of guy.
Oh, yes, yes. For instance, you know, he wouldn't allow rock and roll music or anything other than just the sweet, gentle music.
Yeah. Did you ever want to be on the air when he was there?
Well, you wanted to, but you never admitted it. Engineers and announcers hated each other. And if you ever said...
Well, I was going to say Joe Peters.
Yeah.
Now, Joe tolerated announcers, but he didn't tolerate women.
Oh, I know.
And
you know the names he called Madge? Oh, my land.
Oh, yeah. A woman's place was home making babies and making dinner, and that was it. That was about it.
He used to tell Madge she was so fat she couldn't get through the doorway.
To her face?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well,
I think they had a little rapport between them.
Okay.
She never took offense at that.
Well, I always wonder why she wrote his obituary. She was probably ready for it. Had enough of this guy.
Yeah, since they both had high positions in the radio station.
Joe was one of those, you never really knew what you were going to... One day, Joe could come in, and he was as nice as could be, and he'd talk to you for 20 minutes, just stand there.
Couldn't get away.
And the next day, what do you want?
Yeah.
He was one of the original OCDs or...
Bio.
Bipolar?
Yeah, bipolar, yeah. I think he was one of them.
Yeah, I finally figured that out years later. But yeah, I found out another thing. He was so good at repairing anything that was bad, and you never wanted to ask him what he did. He wouldn't tell you how he repaired anything. And I thought, that's kind of strange.
Well, you know, it's interesting. On the air here, I got to remember to do these things. There have really only been two people who have been here since we opened the station 5.5 years ago, and that's Charlie and Linda Sims. And calling in today to wish you... Linda Sims. Linda's on the phone. Go ahead, Linda.
Happy birthday, Charlie Evers. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Charlie Evers. Happy birthday to you and many more.
Hey, Linda, thank you so much. All right.
How you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing okay, I think.
Well, great.
Yeah,
great.
Well, they don't take my cane away. And if
they're going to let you keep your cane. Whatever you need, you got it.
And if the people downstairs knew I was here without my oxygen on.
Oh, my gosh.
So I have to sneak in here because they're down below, so they don't see me without oxygen.
Well, you're still on your feet, praise God.
Yeah, I am, yes, yes. Thank goodness for my cane.
Amen. It's been a pleasure working with you and knowing you and... Hope to have many more days with you.
Okay, Linda, I appreciate your calling, too.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay. I wanted to be there, but I overbooked myself today.
Okay. All right. Well, hey.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And I should mention that Sean Kraft and Terry Tackett were upset that they couldn't be here today, but they wanted to wish the best to Charlie. They love Charlie. Adam Lepp, same thing. Couldn't be here today, but wanted to say happy birthday, and we are so glad that you're here, Charlie, because you'll never retire. That's why we had to do it this way, because you'll never, and nobody wants you to.
Maybe someday I'll be talking, and there'll be silence. And that
is that what it'll be? Well, I'm going to get your mic on.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Was Brandy upset she couldn't be on?
I don't know.
Yeah, Brandy's right here.
Yeah, she loves the microphone. Okay. She's a microphone hog.
Okay.
She is. She gets in here and hogs it, doesn't she, Charlie?
Oh, yeah. And those.
Go ahead. You've already heard about Madge and the Fat jokes. We can go anywhere today.
I just kind of grin when you two get to talking about marriage, because Scott's never been married, and Linda has two or three children. Four. No kidding. Wow. And
well, that's for her.
And so she's got all this experience talking to a guy that is not quite sure about marriage.
No, it's a long-term thing. I think it's a phobia.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, so there you go. But, you know, you've been married a long time now, Charlie.
Yeah, several, yeah.
Several years. Well, several of those, too. Yeah, I guess so.
But one for 40-some years.
That's right. 45.
45,
45
now.
Years. My goodness.
I finally got it right.
It took a few tries. That's all it took. Now, how do you prepare to go on the air? Because you never come in really with any notes or anything.
I don't prepare.
Yeah, what do you think? When the microphone turns on, what happens?
Well, I don't know. I just...
It works.
I start recalling things.
Was it like that in the beginning when you...
Yes,
when
I never believed in preparing. I would get bored if I prepared something.
Now, when you were in school, is this something you wanted to do? Did you listen to radio people?
Well, when I was... Yes. Oh, I was a big radio fan. I mean, I sat in front of our General Electric floor model radio, and I was into all kinds of... Anything concerning radio, including the building crystal radios, building all kinds of things in the radio business. And, I've been... And my dad was a ham radio operator back in the early 1900s. So, yeah, it goes in the family. I had an uncle who was a Coast Guard navigator, and an uncle that was a AT&T operator in Detroit. And so it just kind of falls in line. But no, none of these people are ever on the air.
What would your parents think? Did your parents live to see you on the air?
Oh, yeah, they were proud.
They were?
Oh, yeah. My dad would come down. I remember one day he came down when Joe Peters was in one of those moods, and Joe wouldn't even look at him. And my dad asked me, "What's wrong? What did we do? Why didn't that man speak to us?" I said, "Well, that's okay. That happens."
What about your mother? What was she like?
Yeah, well, she was good. My parents, I never did any back talk. I never, ever disrespected my parents. And, my mother was she could do anything. She could look in a catalog of children's toys and different things and end up getting some wood and making toys.
Now, what did she think of this huge popularity that you got on the radio?
I don't know. She never, I don't know. I can't remember.
Well, you know what I remember? When News Life was out, and News Life was a very popular magazine, when you left MRN to go to WDIF, there's a News Life somewhere. You're on the cover, total cover story with you on there, yeah. Marion's favorite radio personality.
Oh, but I wrote for News Life, a weekly column, for about 10 years. Well, more than 10 years. Even after Scantlin left town, I continued with News Life for a while until... Yeah, they just ran out of money.
What was it, the WDIF years? How do you qualify those?
Totally different. Where I was kind of carefree at WMRN and had a lot of fun, WDIF was very professional and wouldn't have agreed to anything that I did. So they wondered what they were going to do with me, really, because they bought me. Paid twice as much that I was making. It was quite attractive, but yet I never got to do the things I had been doing. And so I think they just wanted to, because of popularity, they got me over there and then wondered what they were going to do with me. So I went on in the mornings with another two or three people over the years. But it was different. And all, you know, my big fame to claim was with MRN.
To recall the WDIF years?
No. A lot of people that I took on tours, because that's one of the things they had me do. I was a tour guide on different bus lines for them. Went all over the country, Alaska, and clear down to the tip of South America. And it was really fun. But the most fun I ever had was with MRN.
Now, you were highly associated with the county fair.
Yes.
So there's two stories. One was serious and one funny, and Jeff will tell the one here. And you told him that it's a funny. We'll start with the funny one, then we'll go to the more serious one.
Okay.
Now this would have been in the '90s, right?
Right. Told this one, and Charlie would start out like he'd be at the fair from like 7:30 in the morning till midnight, and you did. I mean, you were always interviewing people, and one afternoon, and we would always cut away and would do a couple of interviews an hour or whatever. And Charlie interviewed a couple of, they were River Valley students. And Charlie said, can I have, what's your name? And it was like, Beavis. They said, okay, well, Beavis, tell us about your project. And we're dying back at the station because we knew you didn't know who Beavis and Butthead was. So Beavis does his thing or whatever. And he said, and you have a friend here, and what's your name? And he said, Butthead. Oh, that's an unusual nickname or whatever. Well, tell us about your project. And we are dying back at the station. And you interviewed Beavis and Butthead, and you said, well, and you got done and said, from the Marion County Fair, this is Charlie Evers, and I want to thank Beavis and Butthead for coming over and talking with me.
That is a funny story.
Oh, my.
Well, speaking in that vein, before we get to the serious one, your experience with Tradio and the dog.
Oh, yeah, the Shih Tzu.
The Shih Tzu.
Yeah, I mispronounced that. And after I read that on air, a guy called me up and said, does that dog come with a paper?
And what was your experience with that, Jeff? You were listening.
I, for some reason, I must have done a remote that morning or something, because I was coming back and I had the station on, and you went to a commercial and it was 7.5 minutes of promos or public service announcements, and I could just picture you back in the studio laughing so hard you couldn't stop.
And I could hear the people and the workers laughing, too.
Oh, yeah. It was a 7.5 minute break.
Shih Tzu.
The Shih Tzu.
I'll never forget
on
that.
On radio. Now, the serious story at the county fair, you told the other day on the air, but it's worth telling again, about the bee.
Oh, yeah. I was broadcasting from the Wyandotte County Fair, and I was drinking a cup of coffee, and a yellow jacket landed on my nose and gave it his all. And I was okay for a while, and then I started having bumps come up on me, and it was getting harder to breathe. And I thought, uh-oh, that feels like a reaction, allergic. And so I laid the microphone down after I said I have to have help or something. And I laid the microphone down and wandered over the emergency truck, and they took me to the hospital and left the microphone laying there on the air. And my wife heard that, and she was all afraid, of what happened. Oh, my. So 2.5 hours later, they fixed me up, and I came back on the air.
Oh, you were right back on the air.
Yeah, I can't remember what I was doing, but I was able to go back on the air.
Now, you said your favorite memory is the courthouse with Lady Justice, but is there a moment on the air that sticks out in your mind?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to think a while about that. There were so many different moments.
Well, it's interesting because I remember when I started at MRN, which would have been 2000 sometime, we were doing an anniversary show, and I was asking people who their favorite personality was, and it was either always Charlie or Madge, Charlie or Madge. And it's interesting that 80 years later, that station, well, now it's something different, but 80 years, that station has been on the air, and really the only three names that people remember are Madge Cooper, Charlie Evers, and Jeff Ruth. Those are the ones that people recognize. And it's not just longevity, because there were people who were there long time who people don't know.
Yeah.
So what do you attribute that to?
I don't know, but I did like, who was it, Gil Gomez or Keith Snyder said, I like people, and I got everything started by saying, I need this, or would you do this for me? And people, yeah, okay. And that's how I got things done. People gladly volunteered themselves.
You couldn't do this job unless you got involved in the community.
Yeah.
Mentioned, you know, the peanut push, and, you know, I've been in the Lions Club for almost 40 years, and I'm in a lot of different organizations and so forth. And you gotta, you can't just work, go home, and do nothing. You gotta be involved in the community. And I think that's a real key.
That's right. I had so many different clubs had me as a speaker for years and years. But when I was president of the Historical Society in Marion, I signed the contract to buy the post office. And so, but that's all past history. You know, I'm not even mentioned. Their 50th anniversary, I think, is this year of the Historical Society. But I'm happy. I was there to encourage them to get the post office, and eventually me and the lady that worked at the Star was our secretary, I think. We signed that.
Well, you know, it's interesting to me is that through the history of MRN, I mean, a lot of things were created there over the years, but the only two things that still go on to this day, maybe at this point, are the peanut push and Buckeye Chuck. And those were both things that Charlie created, God, more than 40 years ago. Now, why do you think those sustained, Jeff?
Buckeye Chuck, it just, the unusualness of it, you know, people coming out when it's, you know, 5 degrees and there's 6 inches of snow on the ground at 7:30 in the morning, you know, walking around looking for a groundhog and eating Spam sandwiches. I mean, that's just...
It was different, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's just something different. And the peanut push, I think it hit a niche because we were able to help out so many families that wouldn't have had much of a Christmas. And I think when you give to the peanut push and the clearinghouse, you know that you're helping families right here in Marion.
That's right.
Did you ever think they'd be around 50 years later?
No, I never thought. I just live from day to day, having fun.
Why do you think those are the two that have lasted?
Well, I know, of course, the arena on the fairgrounds.
The Evers Arena,
I'm
sure.
I'm pretty proud of that. And all the time I was raising money for that, I was having some very serious headaches every day, sometimes three times, like mini migraines. And so I suffered all through that raising money for the arena until I got a cure for those headaches. But I don't know, there again, I asked for things and people answered right away. Just like the time I said I've never eaten a groundhog. And a couple hours later, a lady brought out a cooked groundhog and stood there while I ate it.
Oh, but that was fun. That sounds like a good time.
I'll never forget that as long as I live. It was in a boiled groundhog.
Tastes like chicken, right?
Yeah. That would destroy chickens. Oh, my.
Now, Charlie, you took phone calls for a long time, still do, on the air. Are there any callers that stick out in your mind who called repeatedly?
Yes. There used to be a guy, he's dead now, Charlie Curran, and he was at war with the world. And Charlie would, I'd get so mad at him, I would tell him, hey, well, one day, you know, after so many phone calls over the years, Charlie came out to the radio station to meet me and gave me a book written by Lowell Thomas and said that I was his favorite, you know, person on the radio. And I about melted because Charlie was, he said, we were talking once about guns. He said, I got a nickel-plated revolver, and I don't need the dang sheriff. I got my gun. You know, he was that type. Oh my. He was complaining about everything.
You know, a funny story I heard about you, and I don't know if I ever have told you this. You know the Pangborn family.
Yes.
Yeah. They were telling me, their daughter, Vivian, said that she had an aunt who used to listen to you. And I guess that her aunt was kind of housebound toward the end of her life. And she would always tell people that she couldn't go anywhere in the morning because Charlie was over. And they could never figure out who this was. Well, it turned out she was listening to you all these years. You became a lot of people's friends who were home, and they listened to you before they went out and did what they did.
Wow. But I enjoyed people so much. Like I say, all I needed to do was ask people if I needed something or somebody. Well, a lady called me up once and said, "We don't have any coal, and we're going to freeze to death. I've got five kids here. What can I do?" So I on the air, I said, "I need a ton of coal and a truck to deliver it." And right away, somebody called up and said, "Well, you've got it." And so they delivered the coal, and the lady stood on her front porch and said, "Well, are you going to shovel it off?" And then I found out that this particular lady was a professional at doing things like that, asking for help, not needing it at all. That was so disgusting to me that I went to, got that free coal, had it delivered, and the person, oh my, a professional.
That's nice when people do stuff like that. Now, at 85, on the verge of 85, is there still something you want to do you haven't done?
Oh, yes. I would still like to parachute, but I don't know if I could. I wanted to parachute badly, and Bob Erickson was taking me up with other parachute people to try to get me acclimated to parachuting. And then one day, I saw him. We were going into church in Marion, and Bob waved at us at the traffic light. An hour later, he was dead. His chute didn't open.
Ooh.
And so I stopped my pursuit of parachuting. But I still would love to do that. I would like to get back in a military aircraft and fly. I had more memories of going to Panama twice and going to Michigan and Fort Knox, Kentucky with the Air Force on public relation tours. And I'm too old to be a public relation person now, I guess. But when those two C-130s go overhead every other day or so in Marion, I said, "Oh man, I just want to be there so bad."
And how many years on your bicycle?
Oh yeah, that's right. Well, that's another thing. I organized a bike across Ohio for the Cancer Society, and we raised over $100,000 in 13 years. Bicycling from one side of Ohio to the other, Indiana to Pennsylvania, Michigan to Pennsylvania, and Lake Erie down to as far as Parkersburg, West Virginia. And we once went to Rosemary Clooney's hometown. What was the name of that town in Kentucky?
Was it Maysville?
Yeah, Maysville, yes. Okay. Yeah, we ended up in Maysville.
That was good.
Yeah, pull that out of the back of the brain, yeah.
But that was really a lot of fun, and we got by without any of us being killed, but we did have one person that was hit by a car and broke his shoulder.
Now, all your years doing agriculture.
That was my favorite.
Favorite.
Yeah. I love agriculture, and I'd never lived on a farm in my life. And when Dan Swartz, the farm director, died in a car accident, I took his place the next day. And Dan and I were great friends. We went to meetings together, and it was almost like he was preempting my duties to take over for him. Mm. And but I enjoyed it. I was able to get next to Ohio State University specialists and talk to them and get answers for different. Yeah, I went out and surveyed farm fields. At night, I drove around with a net gathering bugs. All kinds of. I really was into it.
Mm, absolutely. Well, Jeff, the entire time you've been here, Charlie's been on the air. When you came in 80, he's pretty much been continuously on the air for the most part. What do you think his place in the community history is?
He's one of the, like, Cher. You don't need a last name. You say Charlie. Everybody knows Charlie. Just obviously people going to remember him from, you know, the number of things that he's been involved in, and the thousands and thousands of dollars he's raised for good causes.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing because people don't forget. You know, people always say you should write a book, and you don't want to do that, but I don't think you need to, because I think people remember them. I think people, these things are as fresh today as they were when they happened in people's minds.
I remember going out, it was a Friday at Kingston, and you were coming back on your bike tour, starting in Eastern Ohio. And, I mean, the ice pellets, and you usually did about the end of...
It was in the middle of April.
End of April to middle of April or whatever. And it was so cold, and we're doing a remote outside, and, I mean, I got my winter coat on and gloves, and I'm freezing, and these people that just driven or, you know, ridden 4 hours on their bikes, and I'm complaining because I had to stand outside for, you know, 10 minutes to do a remote to talk to Charlie, and they just ridden 4 hours on a bike in this kind of weather, and they still had another 2 or 3 hours to go, and I'm thinking... This takes guts, and there's not very many people that would do something like that.
Yeah, it was really something. I don't bike anymore. Got too old. Or
it was up till 80, wasn't it? 80 or 81, you were still out on the bike. Yeah.
Well, another thing, too, my one car that I hauled my recumbent in is kind of on the fritz, so I have no way of hauling my recumbent bike to anywhere.
Well, the funny thing was, when this station started 5.5 years ago, because you've been here since the beginning, I think you were on the first day. It's funny because Sean and Terry and I, when we're out in the community, when somebody talks about the station, they always ask, well, I heard that on Charlie, and what's he doing today, and can you ask him this, and you'll get calls here on days you're not here, and could you do this, and people have brought you Moxie here, people have brought you RC Cola, you get fruitcakes every... Christmas time. It's just that young guy who brought the News Life in, what, 2 weeks ago, a week ago, something like that, because you were on the picture and he saw it at a garage sale. That's a real, real staying power.
You know, curiosity has been my big thing. I once was at a railroad crossing, and I saw what looked like vandals had strung beads of paint all over the place. And so on the air, I said, boy, you should see what some vandals did last night. Well, the railroad people called me up and said, there weren't no vandals. We were tracing those silver lines, tracing our underground wires to update their crossing signals. But curiosity. You know,
curiosity.
You got to have curiosity.
You do. Especially to do talk radio and string it out for a long period of time. Well, I know we do want to thank, before we go off the air today, for the last 2.5 hours, the LNP Cake Shop.
And I've been waiting 2.5 hours for a piece of cake.
I thought the cake was going to come in the last hour. I don't know. It's out there, I'm sure. We got the LNP Cake Shop. We want to thank them for the tremendous job they did. And Linda over there, who freestyled that picture of Charlie on the cake, which we'll get a picture of that up on the website so people can see it. And also, we want to thank Kimberly's Flowers for dropping off the colorful balloons and the card. And everybody who was here, Mary Ellen Withrow and Patty Worcester.
Terry Klein's here.
Brandy Downs is here.
Yeah.
Linda called in. All the people who called in. Steve Stewart, Bob Bender, Steele, Gil Gomez, Ken Charles, the whole bunch. Jeff, you've been here. Who? Keith Sider, yes, yeah. He called in. And it's been a tremendous... Now, did you know anything was going on this morning?
No,
when they delivered the balloons?
You can see I brought in material.
But when the balloons showed up, I wondered.
Yeah, I said, well, thanks a lot for the balloons, and that was it.
Moved along.
Yeah.
Well, what is this morning? Have you had a good time?
Yes, I really have, and I enjoyed talking to people who were a great part of my life.
And on the agenda next week, we'll have James Anderson.
You
have World War II veterans coming in.
Yes, on next Friday, World War II veterans.
And George Kasotis?
I don't know. I hope.
We hope to see George.
I never quite know for sure.
That's kind of hit and miss booking, but he's usually around.
And even Fred Malone. I haven't heard from Fred Malone in a while.
Yeah, Fred Malone we haven't seen for a while, but we know he's out and about. Well, Jeff, we thank you for being here for this, and what would you like to say to Charlie on his 85th?
He's an icon.
He is. It's on the Mount Rushmore of people broadcasting in Marion. I think it's, as I said, I think it's Bob Mason and Charlie Evers and Madge Cooper and Jeff Ruth, and there you go. Is that right, four people on Mount Rushmore? You'd correct me if I was wrong, wouldn't you, Brandy? You would. But and I will say, and I think on behalf of everybody at this station, I don't think this station would have ever been around 5 years later if it hadn't been for Charlie, because people like to listen to him, and that's why he's always in the repeats, and we've taped everything he's ever done here, so it'll be on forever and ever. Well, happy birthday, Charlie, on behalf of all of us. And do you have any big plans tomorrow?
No.
No? No. But you're going to enjoy the day.
Yes, right. Enjoy. Today is the day.
Do you feel 85?
No.
No.
110.
Okay, well, there you go. Well, maybe we'll stop by the heart failure clinic and let them know about that.
No, I don't have my oxygen.
Oh, no, you get a pink slip. Well, it's been a lot of fun celebrating the career of Charlie Evers, which is not over by a long shot. Next week, guests every day, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 10 a.m. till 12 noon. Thanks, Charlie, for everything.
Thank you. Say, everybody, so much. Wow.
This is WWGH Radio 107M, your place for latest news in politics.